a free Oshkosh refresher on the Rocket Racing League. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Granger Whitelaw, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Rocket Racing League. Wanted to get in touch and talk to Granger before Oshkosh because it's going to be the public debut of Rocket Racing at AirVenture 2008. Granger, thanks for taking a few minutes out for our listeners today.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask you first of all, your background is, or at least the part of your background I knew about, was kind of a business background, but then I noted in your bio that you also had some contact with the racing industry. Is that where the genesis of the Rocket Racing League came from?
It is, actually. I have been involved with IndyCar racing for about 18, 19 years now. And when Peter Diamandis, my co-founder of Rocket Racing League, and I met and started talking about Rocket Racing League, it was actually at the Indy 500 back in 1999-2000. So That is where it all came from. And sitting on the racetrack, Peter said, "Wow, we have to do this with rockets one day." And I kind of looked at him cross-eyed and said, "What are you talking about?"
Well, and why one day? Let's go now.
Yeah, well, exactly. We sat down actually that day, and about 3 in the morning we looked up and we had written the blueprint for the Rocket Racing League, and what it is today is not too far from what we sat there and talked about for about 10 hours that Saturday night. And the technology wasn't there then. Mm-hmm. We needed to wait for the technology to get there. We also were involved with trying to get the X Prize for space awarded. And we were getting closer and closer, but that was really the focus for Peter and partly for me at that time. And that was finally won by Burt Rutan and Paul Allen in 2004, October 4th. And we launched the Rocket Racing League the same day, 1 year later.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about the name. Rocket Racing League, the use of the word league rather than circuit or tour, or how was that chosen?
We kind of talked about different names for it and how we wanted to position it. And very similar to the Indy Racing League at the time, it seemed to make sense since it's a similar business model. And getting together groups of very successful businessmen, pilots, et cetera, to own individual teams and forming a league where they can race together is where the name came from. And rocket racing really is the core of what we're doing. We're using rocket-powered planes, and it seemed appropriate for the name. So I wish there was a better story, but that was really how it came about.
Well, that's fine. And that business model you talk about goes back to the earliest days of auto racing. I mean, there was a time when, kids line up and race have been lining up and racing on streets, you know, for decades. But when automobiles first started out, if you wanted to stage a race, it took money.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of similarities to what we're doing and what's been done in racing and some differences. The similarities are the business models of how we're staging the races, how we're awarding points, how we're dealing with sponsors and those kinds of things. But one of the great things that we have to our advantage is that we're not starting this kind of over time, coming together and doing it. We have a very focused approach to creating a 21st century sport using 21st century technology for 21st century fans. And I think if you went back and you started hockey or football or some of these different sports today, you would do them a little differently because you'd make them made for TV, you'd make them made for technology and to interact with technology. And you see sports doing that now. You see the first down line in football, the yellow superimposed line. And if you watch the Olympics, you'll see the swimmers and they'll have their names on the water and different uses of technology to make the fan be able to interact with the sport better. Our sport is based from the beginning purely on technology and how we can relate and interact with the fan better, whether it's through a video game, on TV, with that synthetic racetrack, using rocket-powered planes, different types of avionics that we're going to use, all to bring the user experience from the entertainment side better, from the sport side better, and then, using that technology to advance aerospace technology for general aviation, whether they're home builders or big corporations like Boeing and Bombardier, or the new suborbital and orbital companies that are coming up. So that is done in Formula One today, primarily in IndyCar, with major corporations that spend billions of dollars testing their technologies in the race cars before they sell those technologies to the public in their automobiles. And that's really what we're creating also here as a platform for R&D for general aviation and aerospace.
Well, now, you told me the story of how this idea was hatched at an Indy 500. Mm-hmm. The promotional materials for Rocket Racing League talk about parallels to NASCAR. In some ways, NASCAR has really done everything ahead of technology. I look back to when they started using two-way radios to communicate with crews, and before you know it, there was a kiosk where you could rent a scanner when you went to the racetrack and listen in on that. Has NASCAR kind of been the model in terms of how to maximize the exposure to the public? It's a totally different kind of racing from Indy racing, but they seem to really have had a handle on the marketing side of it.
Yeah, NASCAR has done a really good job, and that really started back around 95. And there was a lot of things that converged in 95 when the CART Championship Auto Racing Team split and became two different racing factions, CART and IRL. And at the same time, NASCAR was getting a lot of loyalty to the brands from their fan base. And you know, we certainly want to emulate that. We want to have loyalty for our sponsors and the brands that race in our league, similar to NASCAR. IndyCar, NASCAR, Formula One all really have the same types of ways for the fans to interact today. There's no real advancements that any of them have. They're all trying to do little things, whether it's the scanners that you can listen in. You know, all the leagues have that. We've been identified with NASCAR, I think, by the press. And we've put that in some of our promotional material because it's easy for people to identify with. And if that helps bring more fans and for us to be able to position ourselves better from a marketing standpoint, then certainly we will do that, because there are great things about all those leagues that we want to emulate in the Rocket Racing League.
All right, when we come back from our break, I want to talk to you about the experience itself for the fan, because I think people are going to be kind of surprised at Oshkosh at how this differs from some kinds of air racing they've watched in the past. My guest is Granger Whitelaw, who is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Rocket Racing League. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Fly wise with the visionary new Piper Jets wide-open six-seat comfort and stellar performance. Single Williams turbofan FJ44 3AP engine. Maximum cruise speed 360 knots true. Range 1,300 nautical miles. Useful load 800 pounds. Maximum operating altitude 35,000 feet. Optional seventh seat or lavatory. The Piper Jet. No compromises. To learn more about the new Piper Jet, visit us at Oshkosh Booths 79 through 82 and 72 through 75. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Granger Whitelaw of the Rocket Racing League, which is going to make its public debut at EAA Air Venture 2008 in a few days. Granger, let me ask you about the planes themselves. I know one of the big things that gets NASCAR talked about in diners on Monday morning, and one of its early purposes in terms of sponsorship was to drive people to automotive showrooms to buy brands that were at least somewhat associated in name with what they saw racing at the tracks on Sunday. Is there any element of that in Rocket Racing League? Is there going to be anything to root for other than an individual pilot?
Absolutely. You know, that is really one of the parts of our business model that I talk about more to the investor community and when I get details about Rocket Racing Inc., which actually owns Rocket Racing League, and right. two other subsidiaries, Rocket Racing Composites Corporation and Rocket Racing Technology Development. But Rocket Racing Composites Corporation, we recently acquired Velocity Aircraft. And Velocity Aircraft has been around for about 15 years. It's a very, very nice plane. People seem to love Velocity Aircraft. And it is the airframe we used initially for the new Rocket Racers. And for the very reason you just said, people sitting around in diners talking about who won the race and what brand of car it was, my philosophy was, well, geez, if we're going to race Ferrari in Rocket Racing League, why don't we own Ferrari? So we bought Velocity about 2-3 months ago, and that is the first plane manufacturer that will be racing in the league. We are talking to other people about airframes that they want to race in the league, and engine manufacturers, you know, Toyota, BMW, Ferrari, GM, they all make their own engines as well. So it's as much about the engine, really, at times, as it is about the airframe or the body of the car, if you will. And we started with X-Core Aerospace as our first engine manufacturer and have developed the plane you'll see, one of the planes you'll see at Oshkosh with that engine. Late last fall, early winter, we entered into an agreement to have another company, Armadillo Aerospace, build us another engine, which we have recently put into our Velocity airframe and begun testing with. So now you have two engine manufacturers. You have the same airframe manufacturer with a little bit different bodies. It's a little different plane, but very similar, that you can root for. And we expect that we'll add others in the future. And I think that's a big part of, you know, the whole phenomena, as you say, of motorsports. It's not just always the driver or the sponsor, but at times it's whose plane is that or whose car is that or whose engine is that. And that's a big part of our R&D as well.
Okay, well, when we get to Oshkosh, one of the things that I've noticed about a lot of sporting events, and I think particularly NFL football, to an even greater extent NASCAR, is that while there's an undeniable part of the experience you have to be present at the event to achieve, in a lot of cases, you can actually follow it and see it better on television. Now, in air racing, in any kind of air racing, there's the potential for things to go fast and go in and out of your view very rapidly. And you've kind of taken an interesting approach as to how you're going to do that, both for people at the venue where the racing is occurring and even people thousands of miles away. Tell us a little bit about those two efforts.
Sure, I'd be glad to. We're not going to have the full layout of Rocket Racing League at Oshkosh. That is an air show that's already in existence. We are going to debut the vehicles there. We're going to show them to the public who are in attendance. It will not be televised. And we're not going to have the full avionics packages for the fans at Oshkosh. But what it will look like in person, and really to be there in person, is going to make a huge difference. I can tell you, having seen the test flights of the Rocket Racer take off and trying to watch it on its initial climb on its first turn can be a bit difficult for your eyes. The plume is literally brighter than the sun. You just kind of have to squint or kind of look sideways a little bit. And it's cool. I mean, it's loud. It is beautiful. I mean, when you see that plane with the plume coming out, it is just beautiful to see. And it's exciting, and it just captivates everybody. So the fans in the seats at the air show will not only have the experience of seeing these rocket planes flying around with these, you know, 10, 15-foot plumes coming out the back of the plane, some of them possibly colored plumes, depending on how we seed them. So there can be blue or green or red or yellow. But we'll have 30 to 50-foot large-screen displays all along the flight line where you can actually see it not only in person, but while you're sitting there in the stands, as the person at home will see it. And the person at home will see the heads-up display that the pilot sees flying through the gates, just like you're watching through his eyes, as one view. Another view will be a pan-back view, kind of like they show you on TV when you look back, you see lots of cars riding around the oval in NASCAR. You can see the whole field.
Right.
So we'll have whole line of field views. And then we have synthetic views that the pilots can use as well, where they can actually have situational awareness and find out where the planes they're racing against are against them. So It's for safety. It's also for fun. And we are going to have cameras in the air on balloons and mini blimps and helicopters, as well as 5 cameras on each aircraft and cameras on the ground. So there will be multiple visual feeds for the fans to be able to pick between when we get to the point of letting them pick camera angles on their camera, I mean on their computer or their handheld, and also the ones that we decide to let them see as well.
Well, this sounds like you're going to have an air traffic situation that requires nobody miss rehearsal.
That's right.
If I could put it that way.
Yeah. Well, the planes are actually separated. They're in a track, but they have their own course inside that track they stay within, and the courses are separated by between 35 and 50 feet, which is quite a bit in an air show in reality. Mm-hmm. And these are professional pilots, so we've tried to design that so that we have very little chance of the planes ever coming into contact or close contact with each other, but still able to have very much a race going on.
As I say, we don't want the analog of NASCAR's swapping paint, unquote, going on in this one, right?
Right. That's why I always shudder a little bit when people say NASCAR in the sky, but I understand it's something that they can relate with. So.
Okay, let me go leap ahead a little bit to past Oshkosh. You have your website promises there will be some further announcements of exhibition events coming up in the next year or so. When should we look forward for the actual sport to roll out, and how aggressively will you try to schedule it for the first year of its or first season of its existence?
Well, 53 days from now is Reno Air Races, and we're planning on flying Reno multiple vehicles, and actually with the with more of the racetrack in the sky, Ritz, which we call it, and the G-bars and C-bars, which is the ground-based augmented reality and the cockpit-based augmented reality, what I described to you. So we're planning on flying September 10th through 14th at Reno, at the Reno Air Races, doing another event in New Mexico, which is one of our home bases, in the third week of October. And then we're looking at possibly Aviation Nation or another race in Las Vegas in November. Then we'll give some people time off for Christmas and New Year's, and then come right back at it. I know that we are planning at racing at Oshkosh, Reno, Las Cruces, and Vegas again next year, and probably adding 2 or 3 others. And we'll be adding vehicles as well. By the first quarter of next year, I will expect to have 3 or 4 planes racing, exhibition racing against each other, and by the end of 2009, having a full field.
Okay, for the person sitting at home with a computer, in terms of this sport's ability to inspire young people to become interested in aviation and aerospace, I think that the virtual world in which they can participate when there's one of these events going on is going to be a huge deal. When will that roll out? When will people at home be able to follow along and you are there in the cockpit in the virtual world along with one of these races?
Well, you'll be able to follow along in the reality world through your computer, if that's virtually getting there through the internet, as soon as we start racing on TV. We will be releasing a new video game next week at Oshkosh that people can download and play. It's a Rocket Racer Championship video game, so they can start getting familiar with the racetrack and the actual vehicles, and you know, it's fun for the younger generation to do that. They do relate with video games very closely. That game will be improved over the next year and a half or 2 years until we release a social game where people can actually race against each other real time, worldwide, on their Xbox or their PlayStation or what have you. And my hope is by the second year of our racing season to have a competition to let the champion of that competition, that worldwide virtual competition, race along live, real time, with the actual Rocket Racers on TV.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's incredible.
So, yeah, and it's very doable, and we are working diligently towards that. So it should be a lot of fun, but look for the Rocket Racer Championship game on our website when we do the press conference on July 29th.
All right. Well, listen, I think, first of all, let me add that I think seeding colors into the flame is great. That gives you the ability to go do the same thing that boxing announcers do when they say, and in this corner, in the blue trunks.
Right.
In something that's going to be this intense and interesting to watch, it'll be a great way to make different teams stand out. You've created something that has sparked my imagination. I look forward to seeing it next week at Oshkosh. And thanks very much for taking a few minutes out to talk to us about it today.
Thank you.
My guest has been Granger Whitelaw, who is the president and chief executive officer of Rocket Racing League. You can find out more about the league at rocketracingleague.com or just come to Oshkosh. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.